And it is Wednesday, February the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2014. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel. In fact, if you just heard, by the way, the comment was made that there is a demand for men to make a wrong appear right. And it just so happens that's what we're going to be talking about today. Our numbers, in case you'd like to phone on this subject, St. Louis area, 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. What are we talking about? The NBC Washington tweeted out a link to a story about freestyle skiing half-pipe gold medalist David Wise. The link goes to a story on NBC headlined, David Wise's Alternative Lifestyle Leads to an Olympic Gold. Now, what do you think is that alternative lifestyle? Molly Hemingway, senior editor at The Federalist, wrote an article on this. And she begins by saying, before we check out the exact nature of his alternative lifestyle, what does the term mean? And she does what I often like doing. We go to Wikipedia. An alternative lifestyle is a lifestyle diverse in respect to mainstream ones or generally perceived to be outside the cultural norm. Not all minority lifestyles are held to be alternative. The term tends to imply newer forms of lifestyle, often based upon enlarged freedoms. So, Molly asks, what could his lifestyle be? Is he pan-gendered? Is he polygamous? Is he dwelling in a commune, eating only raw foods? Is he living off the grid and existing on the barter system? What could it be? And now she describes what NBC says is an alternative lifestyle. At only 23 years old, he has a wife, Alexander, who is waiting patiently in the crowd, and together they have a 2-year-old daughter waiting for them to return to their home in Reno, Nevada. At such a young age, Wise has the lifestyle of an adult. He wears a baby-born baby carrier around the house. He also attends church regularly and says he could see himself becoming a pastor a little later down the road. This is a gold medalist, as Molly writes, oh dear. Now, it is true that David Wise credits his lifestyle with helping him win gold. To wit, he says, I think my lifestyle, the fact that I have a little girl to take care of and a wife, really takes the pressure off of my skiing, because first and foremost, I have to be a good husband and father. Isn't it fascinating, Molly writes, that NBC views a man taking care of his wife and daughter as an alternative lifestyle? I'm glad David Wise won gold, but if this is any indication of media views on normalcy, our society is pretty much doomed. Excellent article, where now the media considers an alternative lifestyle as one who is married to a woman with a child. This really shows the difference between the theologian of glory and the theologian of the cross. And that's how we want to look at it right now, with some words about marriage. But you can phone St. Louis 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. You see, there's two stories that religions follow. They either follow the glory story or the cross story. The glory story is an attempt to get back to the glory that we apparently lost somehow. The cross story is God's work in getting us back. The idea that, boy, we need to get back on the glory road is told in countless variations. Widespread belief today in transmigration of souls and reincarnation in New Age religion bears witness to the soul understanding that we need to get back. The way the theologian of the cross, though, becomes our story is through Jesus Christ. Texts from the Old Testament on the difference between the two include Exodus 33, "You cannot see my face." Deuteronomy 32, "I kill, I make alive, I wound and I heal." See, while the theologian of the cross includes the entire story that culminates in the cross and resurrection, the cross is indeed the key to unlocking the entire story. And because there are two basic stories, those who attempt to get back to glory on their own and those who recognize they can't do it, there really are two basic theologies or two basic theologians, the theologian of glory and the theologian of the cross. And if you'd like to talk about them, St. Louis area, 821-0850, and toll free 1-800-730-2727. Let's begin by talking with Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hello. I read that story too. It stuck out like a sore thumb. I was wondering, when they talked about the alternative lifestyle, of course, I assumed that it was going to be some kind of sexual nature.
Right, right.
But,
so did I.
I was wondering if the person who wrote the article was in some way trying to promote his lifestyle in a non-confrontational way in the media. I mean, you have to be very sly to be able to promote anything, and that is healthy and good, anything that would have to do with Christianity. And if that's the case, I think the writer did a kind of a slick job.
She did. Molly Hemingway, by the way, is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
She has appeared on.
That doesn't surprise me.
Appeared in Fox News, has articles in the Wall Street Journal, and as we indicated, she is the senior editor at the Federalist.
I didn't hear you say those things. So okay.
Well, I didn't say all of them, but for sure, she is a fascinating writer and really gets down to the nub of the problem a lot of times. And, you know, another program we have on KFUO is Issues Etc., and they do have her on occasionally there also.
Okay.
But
okay.
You are absolutely correct.
I'm kind of wondering.
Sure appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah. And that was Steve. Noticing that the way Molly wrote this was to write it in such a way that it really looks ridiculous that marriage with a wife and a child is now considered an alternative lifestyle. It goes back to what I was saying, by the way, that there is a demand for a man to make a wrong appear right. In fact, that is one of the big problems with the theologian of self-glory. Is he always calls evil good and good evil. In other words, let's be real specific here, for the theologian of self-glory, works are good and suffering is evil. The best example I can show you for that is the parable of the Pharisees. Thank God I'm not like that tax collector. Look at all the good things I'm doing. And of course, Job, he's really having a problem with suffering as not being evil. So this is a common understanding of the theologian of self-glory. They don't like the cross. They want to defend themselves against the need for the cross. And the reason they want to do that is in order that they might come to a proper understanding of themselves in their own view. They become God. They decide what they want to do. Our numbers here are 821-0850 in the St. Louis area and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And let's go to our first line here. Hi, you're on the air. I'm Tom Baker. Who are you? Hello? Okay. Let's go to the next person. Hi, I'm. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Roland.
Go ahead, Roland.
I just like to say thank God for Mrs. Hemingway and NBC. If you don't like what they say, don't buy the sponsor's products and let them know about it, because money is the only thing they're after. And another question for you,
sure,
Pastor Baker. When did the devil realize God's plan of salvation? When did he figure it out that Jesus was going to die on the cross and redeem us? When did that happen? Did he know it? When did he know it? That's what my question was.
Okay. You know the devil is not omniscient, which means he doesn't know all things.
Uh-huh.
He does not have attributes that God has. So if he was in the Garden of Eden, as the Bible says, and he heard the message of God to even Adam that through her seed would come a Savior, that would be the first inkling, I think, that he would have received, because he was not part and parcel of the conversation between the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from before the foundation of the world. So that's the first point. And then as if he was permitted to hear the other items, like in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Isaiah 53, that he is going to be whipped, and also Psalm 22, he's going to be pierced in hands and feet. He would have gotten an inkling of this, and that's why next week we're going to be talking about the temptation of Jesus. The devil was so strong in trying to tempt Jesus so that we would not be saved and that he would fall away from being righteous, become a sinner, and therefore if he died, he'd have to die for his own sins. That was the work of the devil was attempting to do.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I just wondered, I know all those Psalms and stuff, but the Israelites read them too, and they didn't. I figured maybe the devil didn't catch on either until he put him on the cross, until he rose from the dead.
Well, I think that the devil, while he may have known this, he didn't believe it. He was just like the Pharisees, and he thought he could interrupt God's plan of salvation by tempting Jesus, and then, of course, great temptation to the people in the church. But he's delusional in the sense that he doesn't believe the word of God. And though, so the question is two parts. When did he receive the information of what God was trying to do, and did he ever believe it? The first part, he probably received it, the rest of us, in the words of the writers of the Old Testament. But the second part, did he believe it? He never did. Still doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Okie doke.
And then when Jesus had to go down, he descended into hell after the resurrection?
Yes.
Did he have to let the spirits down there that are imprisoned from the time before, from the Old Testament, let them know that he did pay for their sins and stuff, and that he did? Otherwise, they may not have known it, because all they had is the devil to tell them that he never did.
The Bible makes clear in Peter, that the book of Peter, that these people are those who drowned in the flood at the time of Noah, and therefore they did not have an opportunity to come to faith when Jesus was there. He proclaimed victory over them, and it wasn't the gospel that he was sharing with them for the hope of them coming to faith. No, they were damned to eternal hell because of their unbelief, because God considered that they had all the opportunity, listening to Noah and others, so that they would not have been saved in that sense. But I sure appreciate the call. Let's go on down the line now and speak with Jan. Hi, Jan. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor. I really am pleased with, what's her name? Molly. What?
Molly Hemingway.
Hemingway.
Yes.
Okay.
You can Google that, and boy, she has a lot of interesting items to say.
Yeah. I I think that we live in a natural world, and populations are defined by the normal distribution curve, and which brings me to this passage, Isaiah 8, verse 12. Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. I think marriage is sanctified by God, and if you look at population, look at our population, the vast majority of married people are normal.
Yes.
There are some exceptions, extremes that either end, but we need to be faithful in our vocation, and I think that's what really, you know, encouraged me with her article. It's an alternative lifestyle if you listen to the vast majority of media with an agenda.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I'd like to get your thoughts on is you started by talking about marriage. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, what do you think about 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 5 through 8? Is that talking about marriage?
You mean chapter 4, 5 to 8?
Yes, chapter 4, 4 through 8.
It's talking about a life pleasing to God. Like, for example, one of the goals of marriage, there's five purposes: to establish a household of faith, for example, to provide a way for a man and woman to love each other, to provide for the procreation and nurturing of children, to provide a legitimate and God-pleasing outlet for sexual desire, and to provide for the mutual care of husband and wife in the commonwealth of goods. And it's that one, that chapter 4, I think, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. And so I would say that Paul would permit marriage for those who don't have the gift that he has of not having to be married for a sexual outlet.
Well, I'm looking at verse 6, and, you know, there's this penchant, and you were talking about the cross, what is it, theologian of
the cross, Lord. Yes.
We, as married couples, we beat each other up with Ephesians 5. You don't love me like I understand, so I'm not going to submit to you, or vice versa. So
sure, there's a lot of reasons for divorce and such, but the fact of the matter is, if marriage is the alternative lifestyle, then living together is the normal. And we just have to look at the statistics. Livens are less likely to marry. They have higher separation and divorce rates. They always appear to engage in extramarital affairs. And so there's just a lot of negative stuff with the lifestyle that a lot of people are choosing. But the alternative lifestyle is really God's lifestyle. And that's why we would encourage people to follow that, obviously.
I agree. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Thank you so much. And we're just going to go down the line here and speak with Herman. Hi, Herman.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Baker. Your comment on that NBC rhetorical casting of the story about the gold medal Olympic winner there.
Yes.
I don't listen normally to network news because of the spin quality, and our news is put in there that's really more entertainment, an equivalent to what's on the tabloid papers at the grocery store checkout counter. But at times, just like what you did and what Pastor Wilkin on his program, where Molly Hemingway is a frequent guest, they unpack these stories and go to the larger perspective. And apparently there is a very biased media control centered generally in New York City that wants to put an ideological cast on how reality is presented to the American people, to more or less say, well, if you're not into what we say, you're out of step and just behind the times and against progress, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, there is a demand by the media for those who can make a wrong appear right. And it really is a self-defense mechanism against the law of God.
Exactly. That's why we have to be very careful about looking and hearing and reading news stories and see where they come from.
Absolutely. I sure appreciate those comments. God bless.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. Let me say a few words about the theologian of self-glory, because this media piece definitely was a theologian of self-glory. They're trying to give glory to themselves. And so when they see David Wise, who won a gold medal in skiing, and he's married with a child, they call it an alternative lifestyle, even though that's the way God has indicated is the proper way of marriage. The theologian of self-glory, they're addicted to sin, and therefore they really don't know the cure. Martin Luther said, the thirst for glory is not ended by satisfying it, but rather by extinguishing it. Just think of alcoholism. The thirst for drink and becoming alcoholic is not ended by satisfying the alcoholic by giving him more to drink, but rather by extinguishing the drink from his life. That's the whole purpose. So the way that this means in the law is when somebody wants a lifestyle that is not in concert with God's will, namely living together apart from marriage, what God does is he doesn't satisfy it. He has a set of laws that he has put into place, not only natural laws like gravity, etc., but the moral laws. And like I said, one ought not be surprised that when people live these alternative lifestyles that are contrary to the will of God, such as living together apart from marriage, homosexuality, gay marriage, this kind of thing, you are going to definitely find negative consequences because God has built that in. In fact, it's kind of interesting. I kind of like watching various programs on television, and every now and then they're putting more and more homosexual people in there, and they try to put a good face on them, but a lot of times the storyline, they end up in frequent jealousy and argumentation, in fact, just like a lot of other people. They're natural sinners. But from a statistical point of view, as I was saying, livins are less likely to marry. They certainly have higher separation and divorce rates. If you live together and then get married, you have unhappier marriage. In fact, we talked about how a woman who's living together with her boyfriend, she's looking to get married, whereas he's living together as a way of not having to get married. Well, enjoy the situation without having to make the commitment. And that's why livins often engage in extramarital affairs. From God's point of view, they're already engaging in an extramarital affair, so their moral compass is already minimized. And so you ought not be surprised is that if you marry somebody that you lived together with before, that they're having an extramarital affair. The odds are with it. They had it with you. Why wouldn't they have it with someone else? If you don't think it was wrong when you were doing it, why would it be wrong now? And there are a lot of other things. Cohabiting men tend to want a woman who will cook and clean for them rather than having a lifelong partner. I mean, that's the way men are kind of built. And why women just buy into this is really quite amazing, because they're definitely on the losing end of the situation. On tomorrow's Ruminations, we received a lengthy email from one of our listeners, and one of the questions she asked, are sinful desires really sins? Do they become sins when you finally act out on them? Or is the desire itself a sin? And she had a lot more questions. And so both I and Wes Reimnitz are taking a look at these because we're of the nature that we're going to try and answer some of these questions. And we pray that you'll be with us tomorrow. That's on Thursday, February the 27th. It's a Ruminations Day. And we'll probably spend the whole time because there were, I think, 7 pages that she sent to us. And really, some pretty good insights. So, Law Gospel tomorrow. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.